day. Dolphins, huge, huge, huge victory. We will get into all of that as well as a bunch of other things. But first, do have to shout out the sponsors. Using promo code FINS10, you get $10, 10% off your first ticket using SeatGeek. If you are brave enough to be heading to Pittsburgh on Monday Night Football, we just looked at the weather. It's going to be 17 degrees that night. Good for you.
Is that the wind chill included?
No, that was just degrees. It's probably going to feel like 10, if that. It's going to be a cold one.
3 degrees.
If you're, but hey, if you're like, I'm staying in Miami, go to a concert. It's on us. Fins 10, you get 10% off. Go check them out. Also, Sleeper, the guys on Friday will be going over some more or less with Sleeper. I will not be here on Friday. I will be with my newborn child.
You'll be giving birth.
I will be giving birth. My wife will be sitting there telling me, shut up. It doesn't hurt that bad.
Don't look, Doug. Don't look.
But yes, the Miami Dolphins dominant victory against the New York Jets. It did help that Tyrod Taylor played like, what, a series, and then he hurt his hamstring, and then they put in an undrafted
groin. I think it was groin.
It was groin.
And, yeah. and they dropped 37 passes.
I don't even know when he hurt his groin. Like, he might have saw his team. That team was like, I don't want that on my
wrist. We got the wrong game plan. Let me get out
of here. He's like, I'm not getting sacked 6 times. My groin hurts. My balls hurt. I need to go sit down. But yeah, 34-10. It was 21-7 by the end of the first quarter. And then it just, the offense stopped. We'll talk about that. But real quick, update on Devon Achane. What do you guys have on that?
Poupard.
Some rest, some treatment. Should be good to go. It's a rib injury for a running back, which can be a little tricky. Their pain tolerance is involved, and hopefully he didn't take a shot during
Was it the one where I think he was going down the sideline?
Yeah, it was a long run, 29-yard run to midfield, and he fell on the ball.
And the worst.
The TV replay, it looked, and again, I'm not crazy. Well, I am crazy, but looked like he immediately was grabbing his knee, which was weird because that's not what hurt. Mm. I'm not the only one who saw that, right?
No, yeah. When I saw him go down like that, I was like, because like you said, he kind of like went towards the knee.
Yeah.
Like a gator roll tackle, too. Like kind of half gator roll, like a little bit. Was that maybe? I mean, it's legal. Football is football. I actually used to like when people actually got lit up, like that Kansas City safety did. No, that
Houston safety.
Houston safety did that Kansas City receiver. Lit him up.
And it was clean. And if you see, there's a great shot from another angle. It's a shoulder right here. I mean, perfectly clean.
I was so impressed that there wasn't a flag on that play.
Mm-hmm. Or even the hit on Jackson Dart. Lit him up, still in bounds.
Get your ass out of bounds. You don't want to get hit.
All legal.
Nope. But let's talk about this game. Go into it. Run dominant. You know, Jalen Wright, 24 carries, 107 yards. Before Devon Achane went out, he had 7 carries for 92 yards. He had 13.1 yards a carry. Ridiculous. Just absolutely ridiculous. Passing wasn't really there. Tua went 13 for 21, 127, one touchdown. We all, I think in the sleeper segment on Friday, I think we all said go under with that 227.
No.
You said over. You said go over.
I didn't say over. I say he'll have half of that.
Yeah. I think we all pretty much said under.
Revisionist. Somebody break out the tape.
No, I say he would have half of that because I didn't have faith in him in cold weather.
We're not going to begin this piling on to it. No, I ain't saying.
No, this one said over.
No, I did not.
I think you did.
Okay. I'll go look at it.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't think Tua will be throwing for 200 yards the rest of the season.
No, which is going to hurt Jalen Waddle a little bit trying to get to that 1,000. Yeah. 6 sacks, 2.5 from Sealer, 1 from Mafatu Melifanu, 1 from Willie Gay Jr. I wonder if he did the scream on the sideline. Bradley Chubb gets a half of one, and Chop gets a whole sack. Pause on that. And 3 interceptions, Rasul Douglas, Terrell Dotson, and Ethan Bonner. That was a nice interception from Ethan Bonner, the one-handed interception. On the opposite side, the Jets only got one sack, and it was the Quincy Williams sack. That was just horrible blitz pickup from Ollie Gordon, allowing that to happen. But yeah, a very dominant game by this Dolphin team. Offense definitely stalled out, and they stalled out when they stopped running as much. There was a lot of series where they started to throw a little bit more. I took some notes on that.
It's painful, isn't it, Omar? It hurts your soul, doesn't it?
Yeah. One run in five plays.
You know what's hard about this period? Oh, every stupid thing TD said, throwing it against the wall, hoping that it would stick.
Throw it against the wall, hoping it would
against
stick.
The wall, hoping it would stick.
Lord, a lot of sticking going on right now.
I must have threw a lot on that wall, boy.
You did. You don't throw a lot on that wall.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with that one. But
yeah, look at the wall behind him over here on the screen. Look at all the stuff on there.
Hey, Alan, it's sticking though. It's sticking.
Now it's sticking. Yeah, it's.
Oh man,
made a video talking about it, and you know. McDaniel needs to stick with the run. He needs to stick, especially on Monday Night Football. If it, you know, that cold weather, you got to stick with the run. TD, what was your thoughts of this game? You were at the game. What was your thoughts of this game?
I'm actually happy with the Dolphins in this game and impressed because I don't believe in them in cold weather. But when we when I got up in the morning, I went to the tailgate. The sun was out. And it did not feel as cold as I thought it would.
That is correct.
When you got in that stadium, The overcast came. Them clouds came. And boy, it started dropping. And I start feeling it. But it wasn't as cold on the field because we had field access after the game. So when we go down there, it wasn't as cold, but it was still cold. It was cold. Okay? But I was impressed by the team. Defense obviously playing lights out. I mean, I can nitpick it and be like, oh, it's the Jets, because you're looking at our offense. What do they have? Like, what am I supposed to lean on and say?
Quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. Especially with the back end. I'm going to be honest. I don't think Tyrod would have done any different. The first few drives kind of told me that. We came with a game plan where the Jets weren't going to have a day. Now, with the backup, the rookie, there were some opportunities that were just missed, like a dropped, easy, probably walk-in touchdown. And some of them fades, he underthrew. The guy had a step and he underthrew, and our guys were able to make a play. But we were going to win this game. The only thing the Jets got for them in the three phases of football is special teams going through the fence. The kick returner, who they cut like 2 weeks ago but brought back, he's amazing. He's been balling for the last few weeks. And that punter is amazing. The punter actually is amazing. His touch on his punch was pretty good. But really getting into the Dolphins here, good game. The offense, man, you just get disappointed because in success, you still have failure, in my opinion. And I got to put this on Mike McDaniel, not Tua Tagovailoa. I know Tua didn't have the last three quarters where it was all pretty. But Mike, at one point in that second quarter, he got away from what was working. He started throwing the ball on first down. Why? Why? Just run the ball, and if you have a third down situation, make it a manageable one. But if you throw the ball on first down and then make it a second and long, and you get and then you're basically in a throwing situation. And there was a point where he had five plays in a row throwing the football, and it amounted to nothing but almost two interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I will say this: the Jets 21-0. They were in zone coverage, cover three, backing those corners out in the safety, leaving the middle wide open. We were running. We were throwing in the middle. And Aaron Glenn did make the adjustment in the second quarter, switching more so man personnel and bringing them up a little bit, and it made it a little bit tougher because they were in a better position to stop the run. But it still got away from them. But overall, good job by Miami. I really don't want to talk about Tua much. You know, we can talk about it, but he's just having a bad go right now. Also, whenever
dude, seriously. I'm just going to chime in for 2 seconds. And Omar,
take it.
Did it ever occur to you that maybe Mike McDaniel went to a pass-heavy approach when the score was like 21 to nothing or 21 to 7 to try to get the passing game back to snuff because it's been really struggling and the game pretty much was under control.
Yeah, I mean, you can take that theory, but we've lost games like this before, so it's still in
some. You weren't losing that game.
Okay.
I didn't like it. It's the decision, though. It's like the decision making. Okay, we're going to go back to, you know, let's try throwing a little bit. We're up by, you know, two scores. We're dominating. We could do what we want to do. But then on third and 11, you run the ball, yeah, over the field goal. But then you get the ball back and you try to throw a screen on third and five. Like his decision making was very backwards in that aspect.
The screen pass, I agree with you. The decision to kick the field goal, that makes it a three score game. And it could be also that McDaniel figured, I can go past Sevy a little bit because when we go back to the run, they're not stopping the run. So I understand the logic or behind it, or my perceived logic behind it. Maybe I'm totally off, but I think that may be what was at play here.
What did you think of the game in a whole?
They played a crappy team, but they took care of business and they spanked a crappy team the way you would expect a team that aspires to be good to spank a crappy team. It doesn't tell us exactly how good the Dolphins are. We will get a lot better answer against the Steelers on Monday night.
And again, this is another game like the Saints game where old Tua comes out and throws for 300 yards and three touchdowns.
Is it?
No. That ship has sailed. That's not. It's no, no.
I don't know if old Tua is going to be returning with this.
Be so negative.
That's what I've been saying for this whole season. That
but he's also not. Back. He doesn't have old Tyreek either. So forget old Tua. Old Tua needs old Tyreek to put.
But he did. He did it before Tyreek when he would face a bad team. He would be able to throw for 200 and something yards and play really well.
300 to 200 something.
I mean, let's be honest. We need better protection.
Sometimes, Alan, you just want to puff your head off. Omar, what's your thoughts on the Jets game?
Very surprising that they came out and stomped them. That's probably the first time in my career I've seen a team quit in the first quarter. Mm. Like you could clearly see the Jets did not want to be there.
No.
And they wanted nothing to do with Miami's run game. I'm very proud of the offensive line for the way that they're playing, the way that they're gelling. Now, clearly the Jets were probably one of the worst defensive fronts that they were going to see all season. But let's not act like they haven't been doing this for like 6 weeks now.
Mm.
Cole Strange.
Six, five or six.
Yeah. They started really running successfully, I think, in Cleveland.
I'd say Atlanta, probably.
Seven. As a game started.
Yeah, I mean, I think Devon broke a big one in Cleveland. Yeah, but they had to abandon the run game because clearly, you know, they had such a deficit and the quarterback was looking like booty cheeks. I am so surprised about the offensive line. I used to have a saying in Butch Berry, I trust. Based on what he did in 2023, he lost my trust in 2024, and I think he's regaining it now. They have a saying: "The standard's the standard." On the offensive line, now clearly
next man up. Also, don't forget.
No, everybody has next man up.
So Omar, he went from being a great coach to a bad coach to a great coach again.
No, I was really surprised at what he did in 2023 with what he had, especially when they had backups inserted into the unit. They still were kind of efficient. 2024, I mean, this team couldn't run the ball to save their lives. They were horrendous at the run. I mean, Devon Achane is still the same player. He just was not productive in 2024 because he didn't have blocking. He didn't have the
line. He's also breaking a hell of a lot more tackles than he did last year.
He's like 5 yards down the field.
Breaking a lot more tackles than he's. I'm going to look it up while you keep going.
He breaking a lot of line of scrimmage too.
defensively, there's so much more meat on the bone, in my opinion. It would be good to see the safeties actually play well. It would be good to see Chop just really come into a groove They got to find another third pass rusher because I don't think Matt Judon is it. And these inside linebackers, I mean, they are in sync, which I don't know if I've seen. Probably I can't remember his name, but he played with Akin Adell.
Sounds like
Kevin Burnett.
Good player.
Yeah, Kevin Burnett and Akin Adell, where they kind of teamed up and were pretty good duo. It was Kevin Burnett and Carlos Dansby.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kevin Burnett and Carlos Dansby. This pair probably is up there. And I'm at the point now where I think that I'm not ready to put him better than Carlos Dansby, but I think that Jordan Brooks is probably the best inside linebacker we've had since Dansby. Mm.
Can I chime in? Okay, with the this is per Pro Football Reference. Devon Achane last year had a ratio of one broken tackle per 29 attempts. This year it's one broken tackle per 10.2 attempts.
Three times.
That's a significant jump.
Jeez.
Okay.
Nope. So we talked about the run game. We talked about Achane.
No, we didn't talk about Achane.
The injury. Do we really want to talk about that third topic?
Can Tua snap out of it? Oh, yeah, sure, yeah. We can.
What is he in? I'm trying to figure that out.
He's in his worst stretch of his NFL career. He's producing worse than he did his rookie season.
Worst season, but not stretch.
Oh, but this is
no. I think this is his worst. I think this is a three, four game stretch. Yeah, no. Tua's never had
this. This ain't beating the San Francisco, Green Bay. What was that? It was another one. It was three
Chargers, game stretch. And he had Buffalo.
It was Chargers. 49ers, Chargers did well in Buffalo, and then you had the Green Bay game where he got concussed.
Yeah, I don't know if it was worse than that though.
He was good in Buffalo, so you had a two game stretch.
But them other three was so bad.
I think this is worse.
The last game Tua played well was probably
Atlanta
Chargers.
No,
Atlanta. I'll give him Atlanta.
No, I'd give him Buffalo. Let me look at Buffalo real quick. Or was Buffalo more about running?
I mean, Buffalo 30 points. I guess
everything been running.
Didn't he have two picks against Buffalo?
Yeah, no, he had one interception.
I mean, this has been a rough.
No, wait, stretch. This is an old one. Hold on. Yeah, he had the two punts.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they were planned, so they were planned.
So dumb.
Worst stretch of his career. I actually like that.
I would say this is the worst stretch. I think this is worse than those other games.
Did you guys see the hit that he took on the Jalen Waddle touchdown?
Yeah, and got up. That's all I care, because I saw it coming around the edge. I said, oh, he in trouble. This is about to be a sack fumble. And he got rid of it in time through the dart, which is all
great. And it was, I mean, he got rocked.
Yeah.
And the pass got off like milliseconds because there was no change in the throw. Yeah. It went right to Waddle. Holy crap. And that was strange. Strange just did not hold his block. But then, and I got to give props to Strange, the big run from Devon Achane on that right side where he got hurt, Strange double blocked. It was very nice to see. He had his one guy, came off his one guy, got the second, sealed it off, and Achane took off. He had a good game, and so did Jonah. Jonah had a few snaps where he also, the touchdown run, came off, blocked his one guy, went over, sealed it. Allowed Achane to go for a touchdown. These young guys are starting to, you know, step up a little bit.
That thing was ridiculous. You're talking about the Jalen Wright touchdown?
No, the Achane one.
Oh, okay. Because the Jalen Wright touchdown, I tweeted that I could have run through that hole. I mean, it was like, Jesus, it was like a parting of the seas in the middle.
The one run he had, Jalen Wright, which made me laugh because he literally bounced off of Jonah's back because Jonah was blocking his dude, and he just like bounced off of him and then went to the right. That they were just running. All the running backs are just running hard. Like Achane, that one run where he had three guys on him and then just came out of it and kept. all of them were just running hard.
Yeah, spin move, all of that. That was.
I don't think it's the running backs. I think it's the line. I really do. I've said that this line has been the catalyst for this turnaround. They are really humming right now, and they're in a groove.
Well, if we think the line is in a groove, because I thought about this earlier today, I guess this will be a good conversation because we're not sure they're going to re-sign HN, whether you believe they should or not. That is up in the air.
Mm. We don't even know who's running this team.
Well, exactly. So should the Dolphins maybe lean towards, hey, Ollie Gordon and Jalen Wright, let's give y'all a little more shake to see what we definitively have.
He's playing to win the game right now.
Yeah, HN's here for the next 2 years. Like, you ain't nobody worry about that.
Yeah, I mean, so if somebody come with a amazing offer, you don't think a new general manager that may want to start fresh will clean it out?
Define amazing offer.
I don't want to even address this because it's pointless and it doesn't need to be discussed right now. Mm. Like,
the point is moot.
Yeah.
Like everything though, because of the general manager limbo.
I mean, we don't know nothing. We don't know anything. We don't know anything. And HN is locked up on he's a third round pick. So he's going to get a playing time escalator. He's probably going to make about $4 million. They've got the franchise tag the next year. That's basically $16 million. That's what they're going to offer him. I'm not signing anything for $16 million if I'm HN.
Yeah, but does his agent tell him to play a year four at $4
million? I mean, no, he's going to hold out. Yeah, but you can't. There's only so much you could do. You regular season gets you got a report. A lot of money. Like, nah. So they don't have any leverage other than making HN upset. But if Mike is here, Mike is going to advocate to take care of his player. And the last thing I'm going to do if I'm Steve Ross is listen to Mike. Like,
that's what you would do. That doesn't mean that's what's going to happen. You know that, right?
I know that, but. Yeah. I mean, a running back. The thing I don't want to talk about this because then
we are.
But yeah, running backs have expiration dates. Running backs get injured, and then they're not the same.
Smaller ones, yeah.
HN's on the hottest streak he's ever been on in his entire career. Who knows if that's going to continue?
Ask Jay Ajayi about that.
He was a violent runner.
No, that's not fair because Jay Ajayi had no cartilage in his knees.
Still.
And so his career was going to be like this big.
Wasn't he getting concussions too, though?
No.
No.
Knee ended his career.
I think that was Kalen Ballage.
Tuckiness ended his career. I'm sorry.
That was a little bit of a shot at TD there.
Was TD a big Ballage guy?
If he had an O-line.
Oh, give me a break. Oh,
please.
No, for the record.
He sucked with the Jets.
It's hypocrisy. Everybody made the O-line excuse for one guy, so I made sure everybody made it for the other. That's all I want.
Oh, my God. Okay?
It's one of the few times TD was wrong about something, so I have to bring it up.
Hey, Doug, I don't know. He made it on another team and made one good play. I'm just saying.
Caleb Lodge was fast, but he had no vision whatsoever. Yeah. He was fast and big, but no vision.
Let me ask you guys a question, because Chris Kaufman came out with this tweet. I think it was yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah, that I found very interesting. He talks about Westbrook Akine, right, and his play time. So Westbrook Akine really isn't doing much for the Dolphins, especially now with Dulcich coming in. And if you kind of tick back his play time, that might help the Dolphins still kind of get a comp pick for Javon Holland.
It might. Have you ever looked at the have you ever looked at the CBA and read the section on the compensatory pick formula?
For what, play time or just in general?
The whole formula. It's crazy. It's annual average plus postseason accolades plus playing time, not clearly defined. And then you rank them all the compensatory free agents, and then up to a certain level, then they qualify as such. So I think projecting who's going to be in the threshold of compensatory pick free agents or not.
Okay.
I don't know.
I get your point and I hear you. But if me playing Nick Westbrook-Ikhine 45 snaps possibly chances me losing a fourth round pick when Steve Ross has paid $2 million for a third round pick, he's not seeing the field anymore.
Why do you think my point is that it's not that clear cut that he doesn't get the snaps that you're going to get.
Take the chance. Yeah, take the chance.
Yeah, no, even with a chance, though, because Holland's not going to have a playing time.
But nobody's got the annual average, so, and it doesn't get adjusted that much for playing time. Christian Wilkins dropped from a 3 to a 4 because he didn't have the playing time.
Juwan James also.
Correct. Robert Jones is another one that for the Dolphins. This year, he was going to be a compensatory free agent. And that's going to drop because he didn't play one snap.
Hey, but if there's a chance.
Sorry?
But if there's a chance, go after it. It ain't like we're using Westbrook anyway.
I mean, what does he do other than block?
That's what that maybe why they signed him. If we're not going to be
finished. No, that wasn't why they signed him. He's just not good.
It was sure those plays. What do you have, like 6 touchdowns off of a certain amount of catches? That's why they brought him in.
We sure about that?
Yeah, he's a big body. I don't know. It just doesn't. Tua doesn't have chemistry. Tua's never had chemistry with him. So it's we might as well. Cedric Wilson is ahead of him. We continue to call plays for Malik Washington, even though he's averaging, 3.3 yards per reception. Who else is there? Greg Dulwich.
D'Estridge.
D'Estridge. I play DS. Anyway,
I know you're a fan. You're a fan.
Yeah, I'm a fan, but nobody else is. So it is what it is.
Let's get to these donations. We are so close to 10K. We're at 9,850 something. So we need like a little less than 250. If you're new, you like what you hear, hit the subscribe button. Definitely hit the thumbs up. 715 in here. Let us know that you're in here by hitting that thumbs up. This is from Edward with the Fiverr. He says, what is up with the Colts picking up old man Phillip Rivers? How many colleges are in Division I that the quarterback didn't get drafted? Strange.
Did you ever see Phillip Rivers play? The guy couldn't move when he was active. So the fact that he can't move now is not going to make a difference. That's a guy who's highly, 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 highly cerebral and shot puts the ball with some decent accuracy. I don't think the fact... Yeah, I think he still can be effective and a better option than Riley Leonard.
What choice do the Colts have?
Ryan Tannehill.
They were the number one from the number one seed to possibly out the playoffs because of their quarterback situation. And then Richardson. I mean, if you're doing this.
Oh, he busted his orbital bone, like some kind of rubber band. I mean, it's some weird.
Who, Richardson?
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. I was going to say, he must feel horrible.
And by the way, Edward, guys who didn't get drafted out of Division I, chances are, is because they can't play in the NFL. So Phillip Rivers at 44 would be better than any of those guys.
Yeah, still probably has the arm. Plus, he has like 17 kids. So he might need that.
I don't think he was struggling.
A couple million. No, he was coaching, and then they were saying that he essentially
coaches the same offense.
Yeah, same offense. And he was talking.
The Colts coach talked like every week about plays, and I'm flabbergasted.
I'm rooting for the Colts now. I would love to see Phillip Rivers going to tear.
I love it because we've never seen it before ever.
The crazy thing is he's a finalist for the Hall of Fame, and now that has to be
he got way five right? more years. Yeah.
If he gets put on,
clearly he's going to get on the active roster. But he wasn't going to be a first ballot guy anyway.
Yeah, he might now. He about to go get a Super Bowl.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's going to help the resume. No, he's not.
Hand this to Jonathan Taylor. That's all you got to do. Just keep handing
it. Hey, listen.
You throw a little play action in there. Let him use his arm. There you go. And I wonder if he's still chatty too. He probably is still chatty.
Oh, 90-yard touchdown. 90-yard.
That's one thing I hate about Phil Rivers. He was always chatting and yelling at.
He's just 44. How long did Tom Brady play?
44.
No.
Tom Brady ate a lot of avocados.
Was 44, wasn't he? Brady was like 47 his last year.
No. What are you talking about?
Okay, let me check right now.
Are you serious?
You questioning this man on numbers?
You know what?
I
think I'm right, but I'm gonna leave that alone.
Yeah, it was 45. It was 45. You were closer than I was. It was 45.
I think when the season started, it was 44 because I remember it was a big thing.
August 3rd. No, regular season started. It was 45.
It's preseason. We talk about Allison. I'll make myself right. We'll get.
I'll keep it.
Ian with the tether says, I don't know how Herbert is alive, yet alone getting wins behind that O-line. Really underscores how important it is to have a quarterback who can make plays with when things are not perfect. Next quarterback needs to be like that.
Herbert is. They had no business winning that game last night, though. They
had nothing to do with Justin Herbert.
He's just so good, dog.
Oh, he is good. He is good.
He made some plays, though. He made some clutch plays.
Oh, 100%. They won that game because of their defense and because Jalen Hurts looks like Jalen Hurts without an all Madden team around him.
Bad O-line, broken hand. It don't matter, man.
He almost got – oh, my God. There was one play. I was watching it. I think he was getting chased, and he was running towards the sideline, and Cooper came up the sideline. Looked like he was going to cut him off and hit him, but kept going.
Herbert needed to send him a check. I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah. He was going to – because he was nowhere near the sideline. He was, maybe about 2 feet from – and Cooper was coming up the sideline. I was like, and then every time he fell on that left hand, I was like, why is he playing this game? But hey, you know, he had a bad game, but they won.
Every time he got hit, he was straightening like, oh no, don't do that to me.
And he would fall on his elbow and not the hand and stuff.
You see the things he got to work through? Oh man, you know, I wish all quarterbacks were made equal.
But then you saw, and I will say this, Omar Kelly, in 2020, when they were talking about the quarterbacks, Omar Kelly was like, kind of reminds me of Ryan Tannehill a little bit. I don't like the off the field kind of I don't know if he's a leader. Yeah. And did you see what happened in the post game when the press ESPN came up to him and wanted to talk to him? He said, no, I'm trying to celebrate my team.
Legends can do no wrong, Doug.
Is that really that egregious? And the other part of it too is
if Tua Tagovailoa did that, are you kidding me right now?
Doug, normally that would be prearranged. That normally would be prearranged with the PR person
who that was
talking with the quarterback at the end of the game.
Alan is a Herbineer. Herbert can do no wrong in Alan's eyes.
Omar, where's the lie?
What? That you're Herbert?
That there's a PR person.
you're absolutely correct. Those things are prearranged. And here's the thing. There's nobody who says she doesn't need that shot live. Like Cam Wolf gets that shot. And he waits till everything's done. But I guess because she's on the game, they arrange the game broadcast who's talking. So I don't know. Maybe he went rogue on the PR person. I have no idea. But I really don't care.
He still talked to her. He still wound up talking to her. So I don't know why.
You don't think it was a bad look?
No.
When he says, I want to go celebrate with my teammates? No. If he said, get out of my face, I want to go. I want to go see my buddy in the stands. That's a different story. No,
I didn't think of it that way. I thought it was rude, but if it's supposed to be organized and you're right, a PR person is setting it up like, all right, y'all, they put them together.
Freestyling.
There was nobody. She might have been just freelancing. Hey, let me get this. Or the ESPN might have messed that up. I don't know. She was by herself. They were
probably giving them like a safety and she's like, no, I want the quarterback.
By the way, Doug, for the record, I have said on this podcast at times when we were dissecting certain things that Tua would say where I didn't think it was a big deal. Okay, so I didn't think that was a big deal last night.
Yeah. This man right here, if Tua did that, be a whole 40-minute stream.
Tua won the game. If he won the game, he can get away with a lot. I keep telling you that, Doug. If he wins, he can do whatever he wants.
You walked into that one.
Four interceptions last night. You think they fan base care? They got a Super Bowl. Tua, you go get a Super Bowl. You can do whatever you want. But, I mean, come on, Doug. What you want me to do? You earn this, man.
I can't say nothing.
Am I wrong?
I'm just going off of you.
Wrong, you win the game. Nobody, you do what you want. That's all I'm saying.
I got nothing to say.
You get away.
I'll leave it alone. I watch your streams. That's all I'm gonna say.
Doug, you think Tua would have won that game last night?
This Tua, no, definitely not this Tua.
Ain't no version would have.
Oh, stop. There was they, a version.
And that's what I'm talking about. That right there is what I'm talking about.
With that O-line?
See, we're going off. We're going off. We're
no, no, that's good. Let's get back. Let's focus.
Yeah.
Let's
focus. Yeah. Doug started. He starts.
I started. I'll take blame. I poked a little fun at the bear. I'll take a little blame. I poked a little fun. Black Ops with the fiver says, y'all believe TD now? About what? About what? Which one?
Which statements?
Is it Josh Rosen? Are we believing him about that? Caleb Ballage. What do we believe it? What do we believe it? Which one?
Rosen and Ballage. Jakeem Grant, Scarlett Tide. That might be an all pro.
Which one? Which one we believe it? Nah, TD knows his stuff. TD knows his stuff. That's why I watch
it. I will say this. Old Tua could make improvisation plays. This Tua, it ain't happening.
And if this Tua played behind that O-line last night, he would have made it out of the game.
Tua got the best O-line in the NFL right now. I don't want to hear nothing.
It's better than I thought.
You might be right.
Tua has the best offensive line in the NFL right now. I don't want to hear nothing. There is no excuse for what
did you say. They have the best offensive line.
I say Rams.
Whoa, simmer down now.
Who's better? Who's better right now?
Come on, seriously?
Who's better right now? Give me the team.
Chicago has a better offensive line than Dolphins right now.
Okay.
Watch their games. The Rams have a better offensive line.
There's not that many this year when you really look at it.
Lately. Denver has a better offensive line than the Dolphins. Come on, simmer down now.
Just because you're having success does not mean that you have a better offensive line. We're going to look up numbers.
That's not what you're doing? Seriously? About HN. It's about strictly about the offensive line, but we're not looking at numbers. Are you serious? Come on, dude.
HN's hot. He's
the hottest. You said it's all about the offensive line, except for other teams.
This is what PFF has the O-line's ranking from December 3rd. Yeah. Denver's 1, mm-hmm. Indy's 2, Rams are 3, Chicago 4, Philly 5.
Well, now they've been with Lane Johnson. Landon Dickerson got hurt yesterday.
Buffalo 6, mm-hmm. San Fran 7, Washington 8, Pittsburgh 9, Giants 10. That's your top 10, and they have the Dolphins at
16, 22, 26, 19.
Judgy bastards.
29.
Wow.
The Dolphins allowed 9 pressure to the Saints, including 3 sacks and 1 quarterback hit on 28 pass plays, leading to a 27th ranked 78.6 PFF blocking efficiency rating in week 13. Despite the unit's struggle, former first-round pick Cole Strange played the best game of his season. Strange allowed no pressures.
Yeah, but Doug, are those cumulative season totals?
Going into week 14. So they probably took all
the whole season? Yeah, that's too low.
Okay. I was going to say something off.
Yeah. Devin with the fiver says, I think the game plan for the Steelers game should be run the ball to slow down TJ Watt.
Dude on the other side also is also
run it. And then when you think, hey, I ran it too much, run it again.
It's an alternative to running. Like, what else?
Run it. Is it going to be
one? Go to the tight end.
I want Waddle to take Ramsey deep, even though Ramsey's playing safety.
Yeah, you think about Ramsey and Jonnu.
They put Ramsey at safety.
Do they have a leg up over there right now?
And didn't he say he didn't want to play safety here and that's why he left?
Same thing Minka did before they traded him the first time.
Touche.
No. Do you know how many catches Jonnu had Sunday in their 27-22 win against Baltimore?
Probably none.
So it's only going to be a 6-mile-an-hour wind on Monday night.
So just cold.
I'll look now. They say that the Steelers' defensive line is horrendously bad.
Is it?
In terms of stopping
they're
the
not
run.
Good versus the run. Yeah. They're
last
not.
Games, they've given up over 200 yards.
Yeah. Yeah, but this is a game here where they're going to automatically sell out on it 100%.
They're giving up 4.75 yards against the run, which, you know.
It's a lot.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's the Dolphins. My bad. Steelers are giving up 4.39. So Dolphins are technically still worse than the Steelers against the run. Okay.
Joe Burrow. More than 200 yards the last two games. I'm going to say it again.
Sorry. All right.
Joe Bro, member for 6 months, says 6 months. Thanks for the show. Fins up. We appreciate you, Joe Bro. Yeah. Thanks for being a part of the membership family. Dolphin 02 with the fiver says, over the last four games, Miami has rushed for more yards than passed. Tua hasn't cracked 200 yards passing since the Baltimore game. It's Fiedler-esque.
Okay.
But he's 4-0.
He's 4-0?
All by himself. He is 4-0 in the last four games.
What do y'all want him to do?
Omar getting all defensive. Nothing. We're just pointing out that he's
what do y'all want him to do?
Play better. Play better. I mean,
hey, it's sad to say, I think you might be getting the best you got. If we got
pretty much. No. If Tua has a losing record in the cold, then he doesn't. A winning record over the past three games.
No, I don't play that.
No, I'm talking to TD because he's the one who's saying he's got.
What?
Damn. Yeah. Literally.
There are throws that I watched today and have watched for the last month. Tua does not miss those throws.
He don't.
There is something.
Simmer down now.
Huh?
No, I'm talking to him. You better simmer down now.
Why are we talking about Tua though?
Yeah, right. Why are we talking
about the quarterback?
Yeah.
Because that's what the comment is. County, right.
The reality is, all fan 02, what do you want him to do? At this, what do you want him to do?
Go back in time. Take himself out of that Mississippi game. Throw the ball away. That's what I want him to do. He don't make it a five if he does that. Ian with the fiver says, doubt the Steelers that the Fins run and make Tua throw in the cold. Fins are bad in cold / prime time, so I feel this is going to be an ugly loss.
But it's okay if we lose. It's historic weather, like Kansas City.
Are you taking another?
No, I mean, that's what Omar says, you know, winning that, but Kansas City, right?
But what I vividly remember Eric Stutzville saying that, you know, he tells all his running back, I think he did this in Hard Knocks. That's not grass. That's painted dirt on Steelers Field. Oh. It's painted dirt. It's like literally hard. Mm. So, you know, there ain't going to be no give. And when you hit the ground, it's going to hurt. It's painted dirt. And they're telling the truth. He's telling the truth.
They got to wait till at least 2020. Well, until 2027 to get that fixed. Because now they got a standard.
But it happened, Alan,
Encyclopedia. What year was the game against Pittsburgh, Monday Night Football, where that punt stuck in the ground?
It was 2007. God, I feel like a performing monkey. It was 2007. 2007.
You want one? I'll give you a peanut butter cracker.
Yeah, it was 2007. They lost 3-0, and Ricky Williams took a shot like in the sternum. Might have broken the sternum and was done for the year.
That game was nuts. Everyone just stared at the ball like, what the heck?
Yeah, that part was hilarious.
Just stuck right in the ground. 3-0. Jesus.
I was there.
Aaron with the fiber says, good evening, y'all. What is the time frame to actually judge a quarterback or a player in general? Seems likely nowadays people give them 5 to 6 games. I give them 3 years from when they're drafted. That's what I give them. But it's the NFL, not for long. So, you know. It changes. What do the professionals say to my left?
It depends on the circumstance too. You know, the team around them, what you have, and do they show flashes? You know, it don't have to be pretty. That's what people need to understand. It don't have to be great, but are you showing intangibles that can be built upon, like Drake May did last year? That's a prime example. Like, it wasn't great, but he showed flash with nothing around him that was worthy of being built around and built on and continued down that trajectory. So it depends on the player's situation and, you know, their strengths. So You can't really.
He's not that good anyway, though. TD Drake May.
Who not that good?
Drake May is really not that good.
Why y'all keep picking on Omar, man?
Listen, listen. 40 starts. You better know who your quarterback is in 40 starts. If you don't know, then that's your problem.
How many starts?
40.
40?
40. That's two seasons and like 2 months. Mm-hmm. You better show something that's worth continued investment. Mm-hmm. And you better not athletically fall off a cliff.
Throw that in there. I like that. Okay.
So where would you put Jaden Daniels?
He's sidelined by injury, so I mean,
is that a factor though? Like, do you take that into
consideration? Absolutely, yeah. You got to start the game and play. You got to start.
Availability is the best availability.
Complete stud, but then I don't think he's not going to last very long in the NFL. He's
kind of like an RG3 situation.
Ooh. He's wiry. He's wiry, and then the his style of play, not great.
That's why Omar doesn't like those mobile quarterbacks. See, I listen. I remember.
I mean, TD's trying to turn me though.
You need to have a build and be mobile. Yeah. Josh Allen, hurt like those guys that got at least.
Now y'all changing the terms and the terms of the rules. No, like,
I've never liked a Kyler Murray. I've never liked guys like that. You have to at least have a sustainable frame. It puts fear in the other teams.
I mean, does Lamar Jackson have a sustainable frame?
It's big enough. He's like the minimum of what you want to be from a size standpoint. He has the height. So
I will always prefer accuracy, diagnostic ability over, you know, intelligence, leadership over athleticism. But I do absolutely understand why you say athleticism, you cannot play in the league right now. Every defensive coordinator, they fear the athletic quarterbacks because they can make something happen on a broken play, whereas the other guys can't.
You know, technically, it's been that way for quite some time, though. It's the elite guys have been the cerebral ones, like
It's been we had the Brady, we had Manning, we had Breeze.
That's one.
Yeah. We had Eli. Not too great.
I'm not going to put him in that category.
Big Ben was a runner, and then he became a 400-pound person. It's
how did he play at 400?
Huh?
How did he play at 400? Wasn't he at his best when he was mobile?
Bro, yes. But I mean, he
got Aaron Rodgers mobility.
He lost his
capability.
Yeah, but he could take a licking, but.
Yeah,
he ain't going
to survive. That's the point too. Like you mentioned, Phillip Rivers, they can take it though.
Yeah. I got you.
You would play with a torn ACL in one game.
Tua's proving to you he can take it this year.
I'm sorry, what?
Tua's proving to you he can physically take a beating this year.
A beating, really? Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
He hasn't taken a beating?
No. No,
I don't even remember like two.
Thank you. He's taking
26 sacks,
two or three big shots. That's it, which is fine, but taking a beating, really?
Just because he hasn't suffered an injury or suffered a concussion, that doesn't mean he hasn't been hit. Y'all act
just
like
because, just because
act like Tua's jersey is clean every single Sunday.
I'm talking about hit, Omar. Like go watch the quarterback series on Netflix and Kirk Cousins. We talk about that 8 times a game. Hit.
David Thomas with the 10 Canadian. He said, I asked TD during Saints game, Malik just passed Tyreek in yards since week 4. Other quarterbacks develop chemistry with wide receivers during the season, like Brady, Josh, Drake May. How come Tua cannot develop trust with his guys?
Because the Dolphin offense is more predicated on timing, precision. You got to be there at that time. I'm going to throw it.
With speed.
And it's way more practice reps required than other passing systems.
Yeah, y'all asking Tua to change the whole spot chart for his playbook. Spots, you know, 2 foot over this way now because he ain't going to get there like Tyreek would. All of that, that's like the whole playbook.
Hold on. But Why are we running screen passes to Malik Washington so much? Is he
really dependable? He's dependable.
Dependable for what? What is he averaging up per reception?
Not a ton, but it's
nothing.
Are we going to complain about three passes when you only run two?
6.9 yards per reception.
Well, if he gets you that, you get two of those. It's a first down. It's a safe play. It's an extension of the running game, as Mike.
That was last year. Malik Washington would be better off, better served if he actually ran real NFL routes.
I agree with that.
Sure, but it helps the quarterback as well.
Flamingo Boot with the tenor says, should we use an early pick on a quarterback like Drew Aller?
Now with a torn ACL or whatever injury he's got.
Yeah, no. Edward with the tour says, TD, how about Cecil the Diesel Collins? LOL.
What about him?
I believe
something we were talking about.
Can I chime in on Cecil the Diesel? I said this before, I will say it again. Training camp, he was a fifth round pick in 1999 out of McNeese State because he got kicked out of LSU for some off the field shenanigans. That guy's running back instincts gave me Ricky Williams vibes. I looked at him in running back, and this is like, I mean, in training camp, that's like, that dude knows how to play running back.
And then he was a peeping Tom.
Yep.
I think that was the Ballage conversation he's commenting on.
Garbgrunt with the tenor says, 1990, the prophecy demands. The season will end exactly how it ended in January of 91, a high-scoring playoff loss to a divisional rival where our defense gives up 40 points. It's not a team. It's a script.
And then
he also says, just kidding. Brett McIntyre, Omar, please do a deep dive into the 1990 roster. You'll be surprised at the similarities.
12-4, Omar. They lost in the playoffs 44-34.
Playoffs?
But they were 12-4 in 1990.
12-4, yep.
That this team ain't nowhere near that.
Nope. Ian with the tenor says, Bills at Patriots this weekend. If the Pats win, May wins the division in his second season. There's no competing for anything important till we get a quarterback like that, even though Omar doesn't believe in May.
Omar's speechless again.
Not hitting that horn. It's not.
Listen. He's doing it. I'm gonna wait to see. Continue. See, I mean, he's good. Okay, he's good. he's good.
Man, was that so tough, Omar?
you can always tell when someone's lying when their voice goes up a few octaves.
It's like Fonzie on the episode where he's saying he's wrong.
Number one Heat fan with the tenor says, Cole Strange struggling so much versus physical interior lineman. He gave up that almost sack on the first touchdown, but he gets that second level in his run blocking. Yeah, a lot of people will look at the Dolphins and be like, you know, if someone says like, oh, the offensive line isn't doing well, and they'll be like, well, the run game's good, and run blocking and pass blocking are two different worlds. One is more, I'm going to attack you, and the other one is like, I gotta stop you from attacking. So
yes, they don't want to pass block. And they've been consistent about that.
Especially if you don't have those anchors for legs. Dozen with the fiver says, why don't people mention Tua's neurological state as a reason for his decline? His decision making is a bigger problem than his mobility.
Nope. Sorry. Ball ain't getting there either. Not getting where it's supposed to be. We're supposed to go.
Yeah, cannot move, and really took something off his arm. I don't know what happened. He doesn't even try to throw the ball more than 20 yards.
It's all the same for me.
The worst.
He's so much against the wall in 6 years.
Everybody see a new revelation. You know, I'm like,
hey, I'm not even gonna lie. Tua's making TD look right.
Now he is.
Yeah, now he is.
No, let me say this fact.
Let's go back to the post Ravens game. I'm gonna clip. For Tuesday's stream, because I won't be here Friday, I'm going to clip the post game of the Ravens game where TD was like, respect that man.
Only 7 days. I told you. Adams here is shaking, but only 7 days. Hey, you know, I'll tell you this. This is where I was wrong about Tua. I thought that his best could be like above average. He's a good, well, he was a good quarterback, but he was under that line of really good that I feel like you need to be.
Yes.
So I didn't think we'd get that.
What you just said is the reason, if you go back, because I went back and I was like, whoa, I don't even remember. What were my thoughts about Tua when he was the fifth year was coming up? And I said exactly that on why I was like, let him play. Don't give him the contract because he hasn't shown if the defense takes certain things away, can he, you know, maneuver and the health. And so, again, I get labeled these things when I say the same exact things as this man below me. But, you know, hey, that's why me and T are best friends. Just,
it would have been the smart thing to do to give him the fifth, make him play the fifth year option and then do the franchise tag, which is pretty much the exact same thing I'm telling you about Achane. But they would have sent the wrong message to the entire team. And remember, him not practicing was a factor that held back that offense, in my opinion.
They also backed themselves in the corner with their comments and the way how they were all like, you know, early in that offseason. It's like Carmen, it'll get worked out. Sometimes these things take time.
And you know what? In reality, I'm going to say Chris Greer was right because they offered him a contract that was not market value. And then we got the market is the market.
And their best value. They were offering $40 million deal, probably.
Yeah, if you would have given him the Baker Mayfield money,
exactly,
we probably wouldn't have an issue.
Exactly,
but we gave him ridiculous top tier money. Not that Trevor Lawrence is playing any better.
He is now.
Yeah, he is right now in the playoffs.
Is he or is the team? I mean, y'all
is not a good quarterback.
Man, Trevor Lawrence, ain't no him and Kyler Murray, y'all. Mm-mm.
No. Kyler Murray, no. Trevor Lawrence is like playing well right now.
Listen,
he's also got a wide receiver.
Kyler Murray, if you want him.
Sorry?
Man, you could go.
I'm good. No, thanks. Appreciate the offer. I'm good.
The Foo family with the 20er said Omar and Allen, best and worst head coaches to interview at press conferences in Dolphin history. That's a good question. Best coach, real Dan quick. Dan Campbell. Oh, Allen.
He can't even argue.
No. That's slam dunk actually. But it was an interim for regular head coaches. I think I might be inclined to go Jimmy Johnson.
Mm. Oh, I forgot about. I mean, we count you. Yeah, Jimmy Johnson. I mean, Jimmy Johnson would give us messages to give the team.
Oh yeah.
And that was beautiful.
He would come into the media room also and shoot the shit with us and drop some little nuggets. You know, it was good.
That was good. He was a psychology. He worked. He did head game. Like players would read the paper every morning because they need to know what Jimmy was saying about them. And that was brilliant. Worst is Cam Cameron, without a doubt. Give me his famous line.
which one? We drafted the Ginn family or fail forward fast.
Good question. I understand why.
Yeah, there you go. You're right.
However, at this time, I'm not able to answer. I can't answer. He couldn't answer three questions a day.
Philbin wasn't great either, and Nick Saban was kind of jerky.
He seemed like he would be. He really did.
Yeah.
Nick would go off on y'all.
Yeah.
And like have a tantrum, have a rant. And I'm like,
did y'all like Adam Gase? Like,
I like
him very much. Yeah, very much.
Adam used to talk to us and give us information. And Adam used to
demise.
He used to come talk to us and give us information.
Yep.
That was good. He gave you the nitty gritty. He tell you why Jordan is a lazy bastard.
People call the Bears coach the ripped Adam Gase.
They didn't look like each other, actually.
That's too funny.
Yeah.
I think Ben Johnson was on his staff, right?
He was actually.
Yeah, he was.
Stubborn stuff.
Oh. Keys on my mind with the tenor says, I asked the previous hypothetical using the Giants, how about swapping McDaniel on the Ravens with Harbaugh on Miami? Which team would you dread facing right now? The answer is fire career.
I would hate facing the Ravens with McDaniel coaching that offense.
Yeah.
I do want to say something. that's not question related. I have been strongly opposed to Mike McDaniel coming back unless he gets to a winning record.
Mm-hmm.
However, it is very clear and apparent that Mike still owns this locker room. Mike still has the confidence of the head coach. And unless they nosedive, I think he's coming back now. I just...
Mike has the confidence of the head coach.
No, Mike has the confidence of the owner. Owner, the CEO. And it's not just a recent winning streak. Like, they know there's something there in Mike. And I do agree that there's something there in Mike. And maybe he's growing into it. But there's, I think there's, you know, you could tell when Mike was nervous and Mike was losing confidence. And like, you guys could tell it from the press conference. Do the press conferences on October 19th look like the press conferences today?
Mm-mm. He's a little Omar, more efficient.
Huh? Welcome to the club, Omar. Welcome to
I'm telling you.
I don't know if I feel comfortable about it, because they can probably just go to Pittsburgh and get smacked around.
Yeah.
And then it'll be that so Dolphins again. And we'll,
4 weeks.
And we'll probably do it all again next year. But you know Steve Ross don't want to do it.
Do you guys remember in the offseason when there was all that talk? Oh, culture change, and Mike is not nonsense, and Mike is a culture change. And then we started 2-6, and then all of a sudden we get that. We get that article after, you know, before the Bills game, where all of a sudden, you know, Minka Fitzpatrick comes out and says, yeah, we changed a lot of things, and Mike finally cracked down. I don't want a head coach that it takes 2 back-to-back 2-6 seasons for him to finally make the changes he needs to.
But the changes were he loosened up.
It's 4 years, and he's doing the same stuff he did his first year.
That culture, that the whole thing of culture is such BS to me. And I'll use the example I always use, it that damn Heat culture stuff. Remember they interviewed Duncan Robinson when he came back to play in Miami. Now he's playing with Detroit. He was like, every team has culture. Yeah, talk about the great culture when the team is winning. Kansas City had a great culture for all these years, and now their culture is struggling a little bit. I mean, it's
they just got old. But here's the thing, and I don't believe, you know, I don't believe in culture either. I'm not a big believer in culture, but I've seen a shift in this team, especially from a leadership standpoint. Like Jordan Brooks, he's unrecognizable. Like Bradley Chubb, pretty much unrecognizable.
In terms of performance?
No, in terms of who they are in presence, leadership,
motivation. Jordan Brooks was in that last year when he called out the team after the game in Green Bay. That wasn't a clear case.
That was one moment. Jordan Brooks barely talked. And the players will still say that. He barely talks.
Correct.
But now he talks the most. Like, and he like they say in the leadership council, this is his team. Like, he is the leadership council, and everybody else does what he tells them to do. This isn't Tua's team. This is Jordan Brooks' team, which is weird. But also,
why is it weird? Is it really though?
Stop it. Also, the way that they mentored these rookies, the way that they never gave up confidence, belief, investing in them.
That's not completely par for the course, though. It's like,
no,
you have to be some kind of dysfunctional of like looking down on the rookie because you're sucking right now. What's wrong with you, rook? Get up to speed already. I mean, that's way more par for the course to be like, no.
Well, Alan, I'll give you one that has changed in the organization. We haven't heard this word in quite some time, like more than 8 weeks. And I think this is the biggest shift for the team. We haven't heard the word soft. These guys have been bringing fight every week. Now, they may still lose or they're outmatched, but I don't see softness on that field right now. And that's all the way through. I do not see soft. I may see a guy whiff on a block, but I don't see soft anymore.
And I thought you were gonna say adversity.
That's what, if you want to recognize something in the organization that has shifted, that nobody's even thinking about, they are not playing soft, and that's why they believe the whole game. That's why they flying around. They feel confident. They feel good, energetic, especially obviously on the defensive side of the ball because they set the tone for that. But that is where the culture has not – it didn't change right away, but it made its gradual improvement to where nobody even noticed that it was an issue anymore. Nobody can say that over the last maybe 8 weeks.
The thing is, they have confidence in themselves, and they know their whole fan base turned on them. They're like, nobody believes in us, not even our own fans. But we believe in each other. They call it delusional confidence. And when they initially said that, I was like, yeah, y'all delusional. Y'all really delusional. Now I actually am buying into they are like, we've always been practicing hard. We've always been working hard. It just wasn't working. It was not working out for us. The ball was not bouncing our way. But if we keep doing what we're doing, it's going to eventually click. And I was like, y'all are crazy. And they were right.
But that shows that they had trust in McDaniel. If we keep doing what we're being coached, eventually it's going to turn. So that's, and this is why I'm sure Stephen Ross is looking at that and going like,
all right, well, we'll see. All right. Rapid fire. We are over time. This is from Chaz with a fiver. He says, if Miami somehow wins out, do you contribute the wins more to coaching or players auditioning for new contracts? Give it a percentage.
Coaching. 100%.
With the last four games being what they are, it'll be coaching because nobody should expect them to win all four of those.
70-30.
Lino TV with the fiver. I don't even know if I want to read this one, Lino. Because you have been MIA since
Buffalo's not winning a little bit now. He show up,
yeah. So you know what, Lino? We appreciate your donation, bud. It means the world. But I don't know if I want to read that because you didn't take your being like a man. You disappeared for about a month. So you know what? Appreciate the fiver. I don't care who's back. On to the next one. Ian with the fiver says, if you aren't a good athlete, you better have an elite arm, a la what Stafford is doing with the Rams this year.
Agreed. Great call.
Dolphin 02 says, Alan, did this game remind you of week two in 2003?
Only Alan.
I don't remember week two. I do remember week one. Week one, they actually had a really, really long streak of wins and season openers. And they got beat by the second-year Houston Texans on a late interception by Jay Feeler, game-winning field goal. I can't remember who they played in week two. Sorry.
Week two was the New York Jets, a 21-10 win on the road after the Houston opener, which was a loss. And they went on to win four straight. They won four straight games, and they finished at 10-6.
Out of the playoffs. 10-6 out of the playoffs.
Black Ops with the tour says, how do we feel about the 1 p.m. flex? We all saw
it. Oh, I'm so mad about that.
We all saw it coming. These guys love it, but we
absolutely.
All absolutely.
I love when the world sees Tua.
Garb Gump with the fiver says, TD was right about Tua. As a former quarterback, I recognize his happy feet and suspect he's dealing with an issue like severe arthritis. It's unfixable. With the fiver says, no, not Finns related. How do you guys feel about the college football playoffs this year? How do we feel about UM's chances to make a run? I'm happy they got in. I think they should have got in over Notre Dame because they beat them. So
Alabama's the one that's a little.
Yeah, they should. Alabama should not be in there.
I wish they weren't playing a team that had that matched them from a trench standpoint. But now it's going to come down to the quarterback.
I don't think they're going to win it. Glenn with the fiver says this may first year playing the whole season. Hold the praise for May because I seen this story before with Daniels and Stroud. Defenses will adjust.
Glenn May played last year too, so I don't know what.
I don't know
about here.
You're gonna have Allen's Mayoneer come out, and he might come after you.
Dude's good. I'm sorry. Dude's good.
Dozen with the fiver says the group response was something from Congress. Every fan watching Sunday expected Tua to hand the Jets their first turnover, not because of arm. Hey, he yeah, I was about to say it wasn't without trying because hey, he really crap. He threw a few of them that should have. He should have had 3 to 4 interceptions on Sunday. So it's just
that doesn't count.
Yep. Sharp with a been a member for a month says if McDaniel's the only coach with 0 reps from backup quarterback. He's got reps
from backup quarterbacks.
Nope, he's not.
GarbComp sent 2 donations saying, "Doug, best of luck with your son's birth and what next." I appreciate that. Good. I will let you guys know, and I will send the group chat a photo. Keys on my mind with the fiver says Omar sidetracked my question, thought of that one for a while. I love y'all. Essentially, would McDaniel be successful with the Ravens? I think we all could agree on that one.
Oh, absolutely. He would kill with that.
Mm-hmm. Devin with the fiver says, it would be crazy if the Dolphins beat the Steelers, get Mike Tomlinson fired, and he becomes the next Dolphins head coach. Supposedly, it's been reported he's not getting
fired. Not getting fired.
Yeah. So your only guy that you can hope for
he's not getting fired, but he might get traded for.
He's going to not trade, and if it's going to be only if he wants to go.
I keep hearing Giants. I'm up here, so 101.9. Giants, 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 Giants.
Yeah, but that's if he wants to go. He's not going anywhere.
Ian with the fiver says, y'all mean – like then culture last year that Chubb said they all lied about. Culture is such BS. What is real is winning, and that changes things. Exactly.
Thank you, Ian. Ian, right here, buddy. Right here.
Barodo with the fiver says it would be funny if the Bills still couldn't make it to the Super Bowl even without the Chiefs and the playoffs. This was the year because the Chiefs are not the Chiefs, and the Chiefs most likely aren't making the playoffs. This is the year for Buffalo.
Don't jinx it. Wait till they're eliminated before we talk about that.
Man, if the Chiefs make the playoffs, that would be nuts. But we're going to get out of here. The guys will see you on Friday. I will not be here Friday, but I will be here Tuesday after Friday. But yeah, enjoy the game. Enjoy the live stream. Oh, we got one more flying in here. It is from GarpGrump. Okay, then we trade Tua for Tomlin. Problem solved. And Mr. Finisher with the fiver says, who was the starting fullback in 1996 for the Dolphins? And
was it Stanley Allen. Pritchett? Was it Stanley Pritchett?
There you go.
1996.
We're going to get out of here. We appreciate you guys. Go check out Omar Kelly, Miami Herald, Alan Poupart, Miami Dolphins on SI, TDFinstalk, YouTube.com/TDFinstalk, and myself, YouTube.com/DougLeeDoWrong.
Stanley Pritchett.
Stay safe out there, everybody, and they'll see you Friday.